KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The UN Human Rights Office says one person was killed, dozens hurt, as Palestinians desperate for food, water, and other supplies rushed an aid distribution center run jointly by the U.S. and Israel. ABC's James Longman has more from Tel Aviv.
The aid site itself is mired in controversy. It's run by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is an operation backed by the U.S. and Israel, but it employs private security companies with support from Israeli troops. The UN calls the situation heartbreaking, and they accuse Israel of weaponizing aid to force displacement through this initiative. They call instead for large-scale aid to be delivered directly to people.
President Trump is expected to pardon reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley this afternoon, the couple convicted of swindling the IRS and several banks out of tens of millions of dollars. Wall Street waiting expectedly for the earnings report from chipmaker NVIDIA. Those results will be released after the closing bell. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding anglers how they can help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species and diseases during fishing season. A number of the state's waterways have seen the introduction of invasive species like zebra mussels and spiny water fleas over recent years. DNR officials are reminding anglers to drain all the water from their bait buckets or fish containers at the site where they filled them, drain and clean their boats, and remove things like mud or plants from their gear before leaving. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany says he's likely to make a decision on a potential run for governor by August. In an interview with WISN, Congressman Tiffany said he's currently focused on his work in Congress serving Northwest Wisconsin residents. He says he'll make a decision during the House's August break. Current Governor Tony Evers has not yet announced if he will seek a third term, with his primary focus on the biennial budget process. Washington County Executive Josh Showman has already entered the race on the Republican side. After just a week of operation, a new Safe Bay location at Vineyard Church in Duluth has been temporarily shut down. The Safe Bay location is being run by the nonprofit CHUM and was meant to give unhoused individuals a safe place to sleep in their vehicles overnight. A permit for the site was previously approved by the City Planning Commission, but officials now say some nearby residents have filed an appeal to the approval of that permit. The City Council will now need to review the permit and uphold it before the site can begin operating again. Burnett County officials are reminding ATV and UTV riders to check the county's trail rules and summer ATV map before heading out. County officials are reminding riders that ATVs and UTVs should be used on state-funded summer-use trails only, which are designated with a white blazer. Riders should also be on the lookout for red flag alerts, which close the trails during times of high fire danger. No off-trail use will be allowed, and it is the rider's responsibility to determine if a specific township allows ATV and UTV use on some town roads. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelly as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nellie Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nellie Korda with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures scraping 70 degrees and a small chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm this afternoon. And tomorrow, we rise to about 80 degrees. With more sunshine in the morning, showers and storms are again possible in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow joins us to talk about priorities Wisconsin might have in the state budget. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, no matter where you're listening across the state, around the country, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Child care, a big, big issue here in Wisconsin, all around the country, but the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin held four meetings across the state over the last couple of weeks. The top three things that constituents, I don't know, the people that legislators work for, brought up were health care, child care,
and education.
And education.
Yeah.
That was right out of my head. We are delighted to be joined by Representative Renuka Mayadev, as she is an assemblyman from District 77. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us from our world headquarters in Madison.
We can't hear you.
Which is odd because we did a sound check and...
Okay.
There we go. We did
it. Good morning.
Welcome, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us. We did obviously mention that the Joint Finance Committee held all these hearings and then essentially went back and stripped out everything that people they had heard from wanted in the next budget here in Wisconsin. So the Democrats have come up with their own package to try and address the child care crisis. Before we get to that, Representative, I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about your decision to run for office. What was it that got you into politics? Because this is your first role as a representative.
Yes. This is the first time I've held an elected seat. So, you know, I'm a mother. I'm a daughter of immigrants. I've worked for women, children, and families all of my career. I had the great honor of working for Marion Wright Edelman, who was the founder and the civil rights leader who worked with Dr. King. She founded the Children's Defense Fund. So I worked for her for many years running the state office in Ohio. And, you know, she told me, when you see injustice, you got to stand up. And so right now, we're seeing it in our state and across the country. There's a lot of things that are happening. They're unjust, unlawful, unconstitutional. And so I had to stand up and fight for women, children, and families.
Was it daunting for you to decide to run? Because I think there are people listening, men and women, who are thinking, gosh, I would really like to do something, but I just don't think I can. What would you say to folks who feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, it is daunting, right? You have to raise money. You have to make connections. You have to get your name out there. I would say to folks that are interested, you know, start local. I think start with advocacy. Like I said, I worked as an advocate And then I also worked in politics for the former governor of Ohio, the last Democrat as of now. Hopefully Ohio will have another Democratic governor, but I worked for Governor Ted Strickland of Ohio. So I started to get my feet well in politics. And I think folks can do that. They can do it at the local level. They can do it at the state level or the federal level. So, and there's so much advocacy, especially now, Jane. I mean, there's just so many things that we need folks to stand up and say, this is not right. This is not American.
And I think it's important that you pointed out that you can start small. It's not like everybody who jumps in, I'm going to run for senator. That's not necessarily the normal track that people follow when they get into politics.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you learn so much along the way. I mean, I have to tell you my work, and I'm also a lawyer. So as I've worked in these fields of policy, advocacy, in politics, I've learned so much that helps me do my job today. And I think it's invaluable, especially at this time now where we know understanding the law and understanding our norms and what we need to protect them is so important.
When you were campaigning last year and knocking on doors, it was something we always like to ask elected officials who, you know, have to go through that campaign process, which can be grueling, but you're knocking on doors, you're going to events, you're talking to people, and you're not just talking to Democrats, you're talking to Republicans, you're talking to everybody. And I always want to know, what are the things that actually, as Wisconsinites, as a group, concern us, regardless of who you vote for? You know, we mentioned child care, we mentioned health care and education, but are there other things that you heard from your now constituents who said, these are the things that really are on our, these are kitchen table items for the economy, those kinds of things you heard?
Yeah, I mean, this one, I had people crying at their doorstep. Oh. More than my two hands can count over the months that I knocked on doors. And it was around abortion. It was around access to abortion. I had mothers and fathers say, this is critically important, and the fact that we still have that 1849 law on our books is appalling. It's alarming, and that's one of the top things that we're going to get rid of when we're in the majority. But it was really emotional. I had actually a devout Catholic, an older woman, come out of her door. I can remember the home clear as day. And she said, if I hadn't had, after I gave birth to my fourth child, and she knew she had five children, the DNC after I gave birth, after I had a miscarriage, before I had my other child, I wouldn't be here today.
She would have died.
She would have died. She would have died. And then her kids that she had already would have been without a mother.
Yep. And tragically, this has happened in some cases around the country, especially in states like Texas, where there are very few, if any, exceptions for the life of the mother. And I always go back to the fact that there is still nothing codified about how close to dead a woman has to be before she can get treatment. And that is one of the most disturbing things to me. Mm. It's just like, yeah, well, you think she's going to, you know, there is no, here is the point where we will give this woman the care that she needs.
It's alarming.
I mean,
it's shameful. And that's one of the reasons I ran. I worked at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. That was my last job before I ran for assembly. And I worked on maternal child health issues. And I saw how important having the full complement of tools are to an OB or OBGYN, and that they're scared to practice in this state because they never know if that toolbox is going to be ripped away from them. So they'll go to another state because there's other states that have the full tool set available. They can do their job. They can take care of patients, and they can feel good about the work they're doing and without being worried about getting sued or a threat of a lawsuit or their license being taken away. It's just, It's shameful.
If you're just joining us, Representative Renuka Mayadev is our guest. She represents Madison's 77th Assembly District. And I do think it's important to point out as well that at the recent Republican convention in Wisconsin, they did as a body vote in favor of that 1849 abortion ban here in Wisconsin. They're not letting that go. No. They're still very much supportive of that. I just think it's important that people realize that.
And I think something that you just said was important as far as your interaction with that woman, the devout Catholic, is that one, this is a far more nuanced discussion than certain politicians will allow it to take place. And two,
absolutely,
a majority, I don't want to say numbers, but I think we see in the polls that more Americans, more Wisconsinites are in favor of access to this health care than people who are just saying, no, 1849 is a wonderful year to go back to. So it almost seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not even listening to the people they represent.
Yeah. They're not. This is something the majority of Wisconsinites want to have the availability and access to. And they're just running their agenda and not listening to the constituents, not listening to the people. And this is men and women. This is every race, every religion, every socioeconomic status in our state. This is not one singular profile that you can point to that's against this. So.
Well, and I always find it interesting that the Republicans like to present themselves as pro-family and pro-child, and we want you to have babies, but yet it almost seems like once the child is born, then you're on your own. Then we're not going to give you any help, especially, again, this brings us back to child care. So there were special funding under the Biden administration that helped kept child care going in Wisconsin during the pandemic. That money is about to run out.
Yeah, that's right. So there were federal funds that were available that kept our providers' doors open, the lights on, so that folks could make sure that those slots were there, especially for those families that were working in jobs where they couldn't stay home during the pandemic. They had to go to work. They were our essential workers. And so now that funding's running out, and it's very important that we make sure that providers can keep their lights on, their doors open, and so that we as Democrats introduced this bill, the Child Care Counts bill, last week. And we need to get it done. They took it out of the budget, and we need to make sure that this singular bill passes.
What is within this bill, Representative? Where will this money come? How are we going to fund our child care centers?
Yeah, so $440 million of it is GPR, so state funding. And then the another $40 million is federal funds. So TANF funds that come to us that we should be using and can use to support providers.
Because if I understand correctly, the money for this runs out at the end of June.
That's right, June 30.
When this money runs out, and if we cannot get anything passed in Wisconsin, we are looking at a massive amount of closures of childcare centers in Wisconsin, right?
That's exactly right, Jane. So 25% have already said they have to close their doors.
25%.
Yeah. Yep. 1/4, and in some areas that might be higher, right? So that's an average. So, and about 60% have been really clear that they're going to have to raise their tuition costs. And families are already stretched thin.
Yep.
This is not something that is easy for families. Majority of them, I would almost say all of them. I mean, the costs for childcare are enormous, and so that's going to be untenable.
And I think it's important also because you're right, childcare is very, very expensive, but it's not because childcare providers are all driving Mercedes. That's not the case. They're very low. The pay to work in childcare is very low. It's the insurance costs.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the wages. I mean, the wages, the median wage for staff in childcare settings is between $7 and $13 an hour. That's the median wage. I mean, there is no other work that's so important, that's such high value work paid at such low wages.
I think it was Corrine Hendrickson who was either on our show or Pat's show who's saying one of the things they're working towards is just being able to get enough funding so they can start the base pay at $13, which it's great. That's great. But it's also like they should be making more.
Well, yes. Again, we attach so much importance to children mm-hmm. and taking care of our children and all of these things. But when it comes to pay for it, it's like, yes, well, maybe they're not that important.
Ask grandma and grandpa. They can come out of retirement.
Or just quit your job and stay home.
Ladies.
It's ludicrous. I mean, are they not? Maybe they must not be living in the same world we're living in, where most households have two people working, or if you're a single household, one person's working, one, two, three jobs, right, to make the household budget work. And so this is not something that's in reality.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Renuka Mayadev. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball coming up about an hour from now, depending upon where you are listening. The Crew hosting the Red Sox. Big hit from Christian Yelich last night at the game.
Walk-off grand slam,
yeah,
baby.
Walk-off grand slam was pretty great. The Crew hosting the Boston Red Sox. Our broadcast starts at 11:35, and you can listen live to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and also WBZH. In Hayward, the Crew hosting the Red Sox. Our broadcast starts today at 11:35. Right now, we're joined by State Representative Renuka Mayadev, represents the 77th Assembly District, and we're talking about a new child care measure that you were the author of, Representative Mayadev. in response to essentially the Republicans stripping out everything from Governor Evers' budget that would help support child care in Wisconsin.
And the question I have, as we spoke earlier about this, is that there are monies that are out there that will run out in June. Is there, at least being put together by Democrats, I don't want to sound like a downer here, but I'm going to rely upon Democrats. Is there a contingency plan for anything at all? Is there emergency funding? I mean, is someone going to propose maybe tapping into the surplus to cover it? But I mean, as you said, if this goes through and that funding ends, a lot of businesses are closing in this state.
Yeah, I know that the governor's team and there's talks about this, but we just need to get this done. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It is infrastructure. Families cannot get to work. Workers cannot get to work unless there's childcare. And I don't know of a bridge in this state that if it was fully out, it wouldn't be fixed as quickly as possible so folks could get to work, especially if that road led to a factory or a business place where workers had to use that to get there. We need to look at childcare in the same way. I just don't understand why this is always a fight. And women disproportionately take the burden of this,
yes,
right? They drop out of the workforce.
Yes.
They can't continue their education. And We seem to always get the short end of the stick. I think there's the time is up, right? We need to get this done. We need to make sure the providers can keep their doors open. And the beauty of this is this, it's win-win. Businesses can have that reliable, stable workforce that they need to make their profits.
It would be great if every business was able to build in a childcare facility within their business. That simply is not where we are. There are, from what I understand, a few businesses who do actually offer on-site childcare, but that's a rarity. That's a major rarity. And it also seems to me, Representative, like the Republicans lack long-term vision as far as consequences go. Yes. It just doesn't seem like they. So if we do this and we cut out this money and women have to start dropping out of the workforce, we already have a hard time filling positions. This isn't going to make that easier.
No, it's going to make it worse.
Right.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah. And something you just said, it's a win-win. And I'm going to throw a third win in there. If they were to pass this, it's a win for business. It's a win for families. It's a win for them as politicians to go home and knock on the doors of their district and say, we saved thousands of businesses and it made it more affordable for childcare in this state because we passed this law, because we created this funding, because we did X, anything. Instead, they're going to go back to their district and someone can say to them, well, aren't you part of the reason why thousands of businesses closed in this state? To me, this, you got to go back. You want to campaign. You want to get reelected. And this is something that seems like, to me, and I'm not very smart, a no-brainer.
No, it is. It is, right? Because I hear from my Republican colleagues when I speak to them about it, their constituents want them to do something on this issue too. Exactly,
yes.
Greg. And so this is a win-win-win, as you said. And one more win. Kids will be ready for school,
there
right?
You go.
When you're in congregate settings, whether that's a family childcare or a center-based childcare, you're with other children. You're learning how to get along, how to interact. When you're toddlers, you're ready for school. You've got early literacy skills that are ready to be used. I mean, there's just so many wins. I could take up the whole show talking about all of the benefits of high quality early childcare. And so there's too many reasons for us not to do this.
Representative Maidev, should people call their representatives? Does it make a difference?
Yes, especially if you live in Republican districts. I mean, the Democrats, this is something that's the top of our agenda. We want to get it done. We will get it done. The governor is with us. But I tell you, we need Republicans to understand this is a critical issue, too, and that they need to do and have action on it.
You know, an easy way to find out who represents you is to go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put your address in there, click enter, and all of your representatives' information will come up, all the contact information, their phone numbers, their addresses, all of those things. Get on the phone, make some calls. They do work for us.
And be nice.
Be nice, please. It's some young aide who is answering the phone. That's not the person you need to be yelling at or swearing at. We're very anti that.
Yes, be nice.
Be nice.
Absolutely. Cordial, be nice.
Representative Renuka Mayadev, thank you so very, very much for your time. We will keep in touch, hopefully, and hopefully this will get somewhere. It would be great to see this. To see this go through.
Yeah.
We have news coming up next. When we come back, we're going to lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. The soundtrack when you were in high school. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. These halls are
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. As Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Republicans in the legislature continue to grapple over the next biennial budget, a measure to increase fishing and hunting license fees has so far survived negotiations. Republican lawmakers have already removed hundreds of items from the governor's proposed budget, but left the increased license fee measure in. Officials say the increase would provide over $30 million each year in additional revenue, which would help prevent the Department of Natural Resources from operating with a deficit next year. As many Wisconsin residents are at risk of losing their food assistance benefits under the budget bill recently passed by the House of Representatives, local grocery store owners are expressing concerns about their ability to stay open. According to the Wisconsin Grocers Association, food assistance programs like SNAP and FoodShare are vital for smaller grocery stores. Organization officials say that if low-income residents are not able to access that food assistance and use it at their local grocery stores, they may be forced to shut down. The 61st annual Aquafest is set to get underway in Rice Lake this weekend. The event will feature 10 days of family fun, including the return of the carnival, live music, and plenty of kid-friendly events. The carnival will run from Thursday night through Sunday afternoon on Lakeshore Drive, and the concerts will be held from June 5th to June 7th. This year, the concert stage will be set up in the Chamber of Commerce parking lot after the Aquafest committee failed to reach an agreement to use the usual location at the former Birchwood manufacturing site. The Department of Natural Resources is asking northern Wisconsin residents to help update the beach list to keep people safe and informed on the Great Lakes. The DNR contacts local residents, beach managers, and public health departments each year to gather information on things like the status of boat launches and bacteria levels. That information is added to the beach list to give residents all the information they need before heading out on the water. Feedback for the beach list can be submitted on the Department of Natural Resources website. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. On the heels of Lilo and Stitch's incredible showing at the box office, it's time for a tip of the cap to Disney CEO Bob Iger, who returned to run the studio in 2022 in the middle of the pandemic. Variety reports that prior to his arrival, the studio was putting out too many films, quantity over quality. Some of the studio hits since Iger's arrival include Inside Out 2, Mufasa the Lion King, Moana 2, and Deadpool and Wolverine. The four films were some of the biggest hits last year. On the way from the House of Mouse this summer are Avatar 3 and Zootopia. Utopia 2. The Last of Us Season 2 is in the books. Last Sunday's episode pulled in 3.7 million viewers, a 30% drop from the season's premiere. Despite the 30% drop from the season premiere to the finale, the show is still outperforming Season 1 when it comes to overall numbers. HBO has already given the go-ahead for Season 3. There is no release date, but production is scheduled to start in June. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures scraping 70 degrees and a small chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm this afternoon. And tomorrow, we rise to about 80 degrees. With more sunshine in the morning, showers and storms are again possible in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Sean O'Malley has our weekly look at your money and the markets, and we'll talk about the real story on finding and fighting fraud.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also now leave a voice note if you have the Civic Media app. So maybe it's not convenient for you. Maybe you're in the middle of a meeting. And you're listening, and you shouldn't be.
You're like, Jane and Greg, I love you very much. I'm sorry. I'm just leaving a voice note right now.
It's a very important voice note.
Where are those figures? I don't know, but you're a great radio show.
But you can always send us a voice note as well if that is more convenient for you. Just download the Civic Media app. Coming up a little bit later on today on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 in the 5 o'clock hour, Maggie's going to be breaking down more of the impacts of the Trump tariffs on small businesses and what that means for small business in Wisconsin. We've talked about this quite a bit as well. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Or so they tell us every time they're campaigning.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. But join Maggie today from 4 to 6 p.m., our friend and colleague here at Civic Media. This is the portion of the show that we'd like to refer to as Audio Sorbet. Where we take a little breath.
Yes.
Take a little break away from the news and lighten things up just a little bit. This is not necessarily light. Rick Derringer. Really accomplished guitarist who I had no idea he was that accomplished.
Yes.
But Rick Derringer has passed away at the age of 77. And we started talking about, there is one album that he had when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Just called Derringer. And I only played one cut on that album over and over and over and over again.
Was it that you listened to the album once and that was the only one you even, like, you don't?
No, I listened to the whole album.
Okay, it's just
this was the one that grabbed me. So, Calvin, can you play this clip from Rick Derringer, please? I'm 16 all over again. I danced better than this.
If ever there was an advertisement for the live stream, today's the day.
Don't watch.
Watch. Please watch.
What was your soundtrack? What was on your high school soundtrack?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. A song that you hear and you are instantaneously back in you're a junior.
Yeah.
Or you're a senior.
Yeah.
What is the song that puts you back in high school? Driving with your friends. It's a summer day. You're going to the beach. You're going to Lake Michigan.
Or you're just driving by yourself because you're just a tortured artist.
Was that the case for you, Greg Bob?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with tortured artist and not just, you know, dork.
What was in your high school? What would have been on your high school soundtrack?
For me?
Yeah.
So I was saying earlier, my high school soundtrack, and honestly, it would be grade school, middle school, and high school was defined by one band. Now, I've said it before, I am still a metalhead. I love metal music. Yep. I love all kinds of metal music. But for me, there was always one band that defined my experience of those years, and it was Metallica. And I know they'd be like, oh, he's going to play Enter Sandman or something, you know, like really accessible. But no, I'm going to play this cut. Calvin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jane. Get in it.
Mr. Metalhead over here.
Yeah, this is a song by Metallica off their first album.
Were you a very angry child?
I was a very sad child. No, that song's called Jump in the Fire off their very first record, which, by the way, Metallica's first record, celebrating its 42nd anniversary this year.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I love Metallica of all, and I'll defend their 90s output, but yeah, that song along with a lot of other songs, and also just like the songs of the radio. I was telling Calvin before that, like, my high school years, which was early to mid-90s, when I think of high school radio, yep, high school on the radio, I think of Green Day, I think of Soundgarden, I think of The Offspring, because they were on another...
Everywhere,
all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was just a snippet.
What is your song? What was on your high school soundtrack? The song that you hear immediately sends you back to freshman through senior years, 855-752-4842. What is on your high school soundtrack? We're talking about this after the passing of Rick Derringer, who passed away at the age of 77. And he became a star when he was a teenager.
Yeah, he was in, what was the name of the band he was in? I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, it's Hang On Sloopy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't know that before. And then he became like a 70s rock guy.
Yep.
He was a big
rock star.
Peter Frampton. Oh, the McCoys. He was in the McCoys.
Right.
And then after, you know, people were like, yeah, we're not going to buy your music anymore. He became a producer. He produced Weird Al's first 5 records.
And unfortunately, in a piece that I read this morning, Derringer kind of said that kind of stuck him as a novelty producer. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know if that was the best life choice, but he was a very accomplished guitarist.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Shizu on the live stream says that Evanescence or Linkin Park. It's like, tell me when you went to high school without telling me when you went to
exactly.
high school. And Jeff on the live stream also says, More Than a Feeling, Boston. I mean,
I am so with you, Jeff. Boston for sure.
That debut record was a monster album. It's still everywhere.
It was huge.
Yeah.
I had the chance to see Boston, actually.
Really?
And
You had the chance?
I saw them when I was in high school. Boston and Aerosmith.
Was Aerosmith opening up?
I believe they were. I believe That's Aerosmith opened for Boston.
Amazing.
Yes.
That's...
What is on your soundtrack? What is the soundtrack of high school for you? 855-752-4842. You just hear the song and it sends you right back. Casper in Madison says Garth Brooks, Alan Jackson, Pantera, Snoop, Ice Cube, Pearl Jam, and Metallica.
I was almost gonna play some Pantera, but I didn't. I would have just the rock would have happened too much, and I would have walked out the door to rock outside.
Christine from Slinger, Sunny by Bobby Hepp in 1966. Calvin, take a look for that song, please, Sunny. It's a really sweet
Sunny.
Yes. Yes.
Bobby, more like Bobby Hepcat.
Thank you, Christine. What is your soundtrack, your high school soundtrack? You hear it and it sends you back. Roger in Stevens Point says it was Long Time from Boston. Another good Boston tune.
Yeah. Adam, listening in Oregon on WXCO, the entire Weezer Blue album. That's a seminal record for a lot of people. That debut album from Weezer, which is also, I think, 30 plus years old now.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. It's when you're like, hey, we're listening to Weezer on classic rock. You're like, no!
That means I'm this old. Maureen from Nina, Maggie May by Rod Stewart. He was huge.
He was huge. He
really was.
Yeah.
I was never a big Rod Stewart fan.
Either.
And I still don't think he can sing.
I love the intro to that song. And then once it turns into the Maggie Me part, I'm like, I'm done with this.
Doesn't do it for you.
No, not at all.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Today for Audio Sorbet, we are talking about your high school soundtrack. Just one song or a couple songs you hear and it immediately sends you right back. Steve from Green Bay listening on WGBW, anything ska or punk. Even my yearbook quote was ska punk. I love that. I don't know what that means.
Ska music.
I know what ska is.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
The quote is ska punk. I would like more explanation.
Yeah, if you can, tell us what you quoted and what band you quoted in your yearbook from which ska band. So,
Stacy from Waukesha, listening on WAUK, The Eagles, Elvin Bishop, Charlie Daniels. Very good.
Ah, man, Charlie Daniels used to be cool, and then he became just a total weirdo. He went from standing against war and doing concerts for Jimmy Carter to like, Obama's a Muslim who's not born here.
Well, things happen when people get old. 855-752-4842. What is your soundtrack from high school? Connie from Portage is on the line. Good morning, Connie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Mine would be The Platters and Elvis Presley.
Okay, oh, there you go. Platters, that's great. Yeah. But it sends you right back, doesn't it, Connie?
Oh, when I hear The Great Pretender, I'm gone.
Thank you so much, Connie. Really appreciate it. Join us. What is your high school soundtrack? Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. What's yours?
Good morning. Yeah, being born in 85, I was in high school about 2000 to 2004. And we had a lot of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears.
Oh, yes.
You know, that type of thing. The one song that transports me right back to high school is by Outkast. It's Hey Ya.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a fun song, actually, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Steve from Green Bay. This was the quote he had by,
is the ska punk quote.
Mm-hmm, very influential band, Operation Ivy. Conditioned to self-interest with emotions locked away. They call normal that I'd rather be insane. All right, that's when they gave us the license to put whatever quote we wanted into our yearbook. It's like you really
pushed it.
I had a Beatles quote, I had a Willy Wonka quote, and I think I had a quote from Hook because I just had no accomplishments in high school. So some kids were like, I lettered in varsity. I'm like, I did theater. Now let me talk about my life.
Here's my things.
Yeah.
What is your soundtrack from high school? Talking about this after the passing of Rick Derringer at the age of 77. For me, it was Let Me In. I immediately go back to being a junior in high school. Yeah. Ronnie from Horicon on WAUK. James Taylor. That was another one.
Yeah.
When I was an angst-ridden teenager, James Taylor, Mudslide Slim album.
I was going to say.
I would play it over and over and over.
Angsty teenager doesn't really always equate to James Taylor.
It was. You got listen to the
album. It was angst and subtext.
Yes, exactly.
I just saw one, Allison Cottahay listening to WAUK. I heard through the grapevine. And at the time when that came out, there were like a bunch of versions. So you could, I mean, there was a Gladys Knight, there was CCR and Marvin Gaye. Like you had all different versions of just that one song.
Calvin, as our resident young person, we are curious to know what would send you back to high school when you hear the song.
I guess for me, it would be, so I'm a big rap fan, so I guess anything by Lil Wayne would be a big middle school. I remember the first album I remember caring about it coming out was actually came out when I was in middle school, but it was Lil Wayne's The Carter Four.
Oh,
and
yes.
It had this song on it. So,
and that's as much as you can play.
That's about as much as I'm going to play. And I do genuinely like this music, but that being said, one of my goals of playing it when I was in high school was when I got my first car was to be as obnoxious as possible when driving out of the school parking lot.
I can see that doing that.
So that's definitely part of it.
So you liked it for the obnoxious factor. That kind of played into it.
For sure.
A little bit. 855-752-4842. The soundtrack from high school. What's the song that sends you back? 855-75-CIVIC.
Lisa, listening on the live stream, REO Speedwagon.
REO Speedwagon. Whistler, Bobby Goldsboro, Honey, I remember that Whistler. Quiet Riot, Pink Floyd, The Wall, so many good ones. Hotel California, and Angie. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this. Great, great fun.
Exactly.
When we return, we got to wrap things up. We can take a couple more calls if we take them real quickly that we have. This shouldn't be a thing. Pigeon Quest Edition is on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter before we went to the break. We were talking about your high school soundtrack. Mm-hmm. What was on your high school soundtrack? Rick Derringer passed away at the age of 77. He did Hang on Sloopy. He did a lot more than anybody realized.
Rock and roll hoochie coo.
Rock and roll hoochie coo. So we were taking your calls about what was on your high school soundtrack. Just real quickly, we want to get to a few more. We have Buddy Holly from Frank in Delafield, Bob from Glendale, my high school soundtrack, Sabbath, Deep Purple, Doors, Zeppelin, and Jay Giles. Absolutely. And I actually thought that his name was Jay Giles.
It's Jay Giles.
It's his Peter Wolf is the I really thought his name was Jay Giles.
Well, you would think that it's called the Jay Giles Band.
Don't know where that came from. Richard from Waukesha, real briefly, what was your song that puts you back in high school?
Well, there was many, but Mr. Fantasy by Stevie Winwood.
By
there
Steve Winwood. Oh, yes, excellent.
Thank
one, Richard.
Thank you so much.
Also, Low Spark of High Heel Boys.
Oh, yes, Traffic.
Great song.
Great band.
Jip from Chippewa, you get the last word on this, the song that puts you back to high school.
Hello?
Jim, are you there?
Oh, can't hear you, Jim.
Maybe you're singing, Jim. We cannot hear you.
Oh, there you go.
Jim, you may want to try and give us a call back. But anyway, that was so much fun. Thanks, everybody, for taking part in that. It's getting late. It's 11:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from WISN Channel 12 here in Milwaukee. Sharif Pajay and Aaron Cooper from CNN with the story, but the headline says, watch, two wild pigeons try to stow away on board Delta Airlines flight. A flight from Minneapolis to Madison got delayed over the weekend after two pigeons somehow got on board Delta Airlines flight 2348. There were 119 passengers on board, five crew members. One passenger told CNN it was bizarre. When I got on the plane, I heard a passenger tell a flight attendant she thinks there's a pigeon on the plane. And I looked at her and I thought, what is she talking about? Sure enough, after he got buckled in, he heard a commotion a few rows ahead. Baggage handlers got called on board to get a hold of the pigeon. And the pilot even got on the intercom to tell everyone, quote, there's a wildlife situation on the plane, unquote. After the plane left the gate and was getting ready to take off, another pigeon showed up in the plane. It was strutting up and down the aisle.
As you do, because they paid for the upgrade.
Someone tried to grab the pigeon. That, of course, sent it flying, so he's flying through the cabin. Video taken by this passenger shows the pigeon flying as a passenger jumps up and tries to catch it in a jacket while a woman screams. After that failed, the bird ended up in the back of the plane. The pilot actually had to get permission to return to the gate, at which time another baggage handler, they're apparently really good at this, came on board and got a hold of the pigeon and removed it safely. In a statement, Delta says it appreciates the careful actions of our people and customers to safely remove two birds from the aircraft prior to departure. We apologize to our customers for the delay in their travel. The flight arrived in Madison about an hour later than scheduled. There is a video element if you would like to see it.
I just think it would have been fine if they left the pigeons on there.
Fly along?
Unharmed and unbothered.
You know what pigeons do when they're in mid-flight.
All birds do that mid-flight.
Yeah, that's why you don't want pigeons flying around the cabin.
I feel like they cause more of a kerfuffle by trying to handle the pigeons by just letting them, give them some peanuts, give them some earphones for the movie. Just let them do their thing.
I just like the visual of the pigeons strutting up and down the aisle going, oh yeah.
Do something, son.
Oh yeah, what are you
going to
do about it? That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, it is Thursday. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus.
It's Thursday already.
A lot of you will be here at 9:35. Yeah. There have been several developments in cases ruling against the president and some of his attacks on law firms around the country who represented people that he didn't like. Yeah. So we'll have some updates about that with Jim Santel tomorrow morning. Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine. And the Journal Sentinel's
J.R. Ratcliffe
will be here to talk all things sports balls.
I love.
See, you keep me on track.
I love talking
that.
About sports balls, especially when the Brewers win, and they could sweep this series against the Red Sox, which sounds like a big thing, but their record is almost the same as ours.
That would be great to see.
Yeah, I'd love to see that
again. On certain select stations across Civic Media, we will be broadcasting today's game when the Crew host the Red Sox. That starts our coverage starts about 11:35. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba takes over 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabba wraps it all up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't go away. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
KBC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Elon Musk says he is disappointed by the reconciliation bill that narrowly passed the House last week. He says that big budget just costs too much. Independent analysts have calculated the plan could add billions or trillions to the national debt. The Trump administration rejecting North Carolina's recent request for additional FEMA funding for the cleanup from Tropical Storm Helene last fall. Here's ABC National correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
North Carolina's Democratic Governor Josh Stein appealed the decision last month. FEMA's acting administrator responds that after a careful and thorough review, 6 more months of full federal funding for the Helene cleanup is, quote, not warranted. States typically pick up 25% of the cost of debris removal and other emergency measures, while the federal government pays 3/4 of the cost. Former President Biden granted North Carolina a 100% federal cost share after the storm.
The Gaza Health Ministry says one person was killed, dozens more hurt when a desperate crowd rushed an aid distribution center in Gaza. This is ABC News.